Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, Paul and Jordana Susan Blanche on the board. Yes, thank you for tuning in. We're on Facebook, too. Check us out.
Check us out on Facebook Live at the Paul and Jordana page. Yep. Stream in the show. Jump in. And before we get to the heavy conversation about what AOC said about concentration camps, I want to remind you to listen to Dave Lee at 7:55 for your chance to win a spot in Viking tight end Kyle Rudolph's pro camp. Throughout the two-day camp, Kyle and coaches will offer tips, hands-on instruction, lectures, fundamental skills, contests, high energy, and fun environment. And you can send your child. 7:55 a.m. on the Morning News with Dave Lee, or you can sign up online at WCCORadio.com/contests. Some great contests here on WCCO Radio lately. So
that's not something you can order on Amazon.
Absolutely not. No. This is an experience, and you can only get it here on WCCO. So tune in for that.
So words matter, and we've got all these verbal missiles flying back and forth between the Republicans and the Democrats. And AOC said something interesting. And I was curious what your take
would be. Right, being the Jew.
Well.
Yeah. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez defined the detention facilities on the Mexican border as concentration camps. I won't put words in her mouth. Here is exactly what she said.
The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border. And that is exactly what they are. They are concentration camps. I want to talk to the people that are concerned enough with humanity to say that we should not, that never again means something. And that the fact that concentration camps are now an institutionalized practice in the home of the free is extraordinarily disturbing. And we need to do something about it. This week, children, immigrant children were moved to the same internment camps where the Japanese were held in the earlier 20th century. And this is not even about a crisis for the immigrant communities being held in concentration camps being a crisis. This is a crisis for ourselves. This is a crisis on if America will remain America in its actual principles and values, or if we are losing to an authoritarian and fascist presidency. You know, I don't use those words lightly. I don't use those words to just throw bombs. I use that word because that is what an administration that creates concentration camps is. A presidency that creates concentration camps is fascist.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talking about the immigrant detention facilities at the Mexican border. Pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, and she got a lot of attention.
She did.
And these days, I guess it's all about getting attention. Mm-hmm. I think she personally, and I want to hear your viewpoint on this, I think she jumped the shark.
Okay. You think she overstepped?
Well, she even said they're moving the children to internment camps that were used to house the Japanese back in the 40s in World War II. So, again, and here's why I say this. And yes, the kids should not be separated from their parents.
Right.
I think
agreed.
I think that is very un-American.
Agreed.
Keep the families together. And the kids are obviously in poor condition and being
24
held.
24 children have died in these detention facilities.
I'm not excusing in any way the way these families and kids have been treated. But a concentration camp definition, a place where large numbers of people, especially political prisoners or members of persecuted minorities, are deliberately imprisoned in a relatively small area with inadequate facilities, sometimes to provide forced labor or to await mass execution. And the other thing that caught my mind is the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. came out with a statement. They unequivocally reject efforts to create analogies between the Holocaust and other events, whether historical or contemporary, the museum said in a statement. What do you make of this?
Okay, as the token Jew here, I would generally always side with Yad Vashem. Yad Vashem is the Holocaust Museum right. in Israel. So generally, I would always defer. And that's great that they made that statement. And I get it that they probably had to make that statement. I mean, for me, when you look at the definition of concentration camps, it doesn't always mean death camps. It's not always Auschwitz or Dachau or Bergen-Belsen. It's a concentration. It's the definition of what you read. There have always been concentration camps, by the way. Like, the Jews did not coin the phrase. During Nazi Germany, it wasn't the first time
right.
that there were concentration camps. They've been in France and South Africa and Cuba and the Soviet Union. In the United States, of course. And she called them internment camps. But in fact, those words are interchangeable. There is an expert.
But there's something about the term concentration camp.
And I think that's where she jumped the shark
in her
statements. Because she said the word concentration camp. And then she said, never again has to mean something. And if you're not familiar with the phrase, never again, it always refers to the Holocaust. Never again can we allow this to happen. Never again can we allow the systematic genocide of people based on their religion. Never again should we allow death camps. And she's right. But what's happening at the border, despite the fact, and I'll correct myself, 24 people have died in these facilities. I get it. 6 children have died way after they have been moved out. These are not death camps. This is not Auschwitz. But they are concentration camps. The broader definition of a concentration camp is, at its most basic level, to separate one group of people from another group. Usually because the majority group or the creators of the camp deem the people they're putting in to be dangerous or undesirable in some way. The definition is mass detention of civilians without trial. And that's what is happening to these people at the border.
So again, the Japanese, these were not then internment camps.
They were
your definition, they were concentration camps.
They were. And you can conflate the two all you want. The fact is, yes, there were concentration camps also in Nazi Germany. Some were work camps. Some were just detention camps. Not all of them had gas chambers and ovens. Many of them did, but there is a difference. And the concentration camps existed before the Holocaust.
So teams of lawyers interviewed these kids at one of these facilities in Clint, Texas, to make sure that they were in compliance with the Flores settlement, which mandates that kids must be held in safe and sanitary conditions and moved out of Border Patrol custody without unnecessary delays. And the lawyers, what they found was shocking, and they went public. Flu and lice outbreaks were going untreated. Children were filthy, sleeping on cold floors, taking care of one another. You know, 8-year-olds taking care of infants, many of them with the flu. So, yeah, the conditions.
It's horrible what's happening to these people.
Not good.
To these children. It's horrible. It's horrible. And it shouldn't necessarily be about verbiage. The fact is, these are concentration camps when mass detention of civilians without trial. That's what's happening here. And I guess now it's up to the Trump administration to decide if they want that on their watch. Rick's in Golden Valley. Rick, jump in here.
Yeah, so number one, the Democrats are doing nothing in Congress to fix this. They've had a lot of time to do it. And this is just another illustration of fake news by AOC, because this has been put on the American people by the Democrats because they refuse to accept the challenge to change the laws to make our immigration system work.
So just so I get this right, the detention of immigrants and the separation of children from their families is the Democrats' fault, Rick in Golden Valley. Is that correct?
Well, because they're unwilling to change the laws to make the system work.
Rick, can we be done with this conversation now?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, do you have any more questions for Rick?
No, Rick, thank you for saying
everybody
your piece.
Gets a say.
We may not
Rick,
agree, but
I mean,
but,
get off those talking points. None of that is true. The policy of separating children from their families did not exist under Obama. Only children were held in detention facilities when they didn't come with parents. Minors who traveled alone, yes, were held because they had to have somewhere to go. That is a fact. Child separation did not exist before the Trump administration. So, Rick, just you might want to get off your Fox News talking points. Dale's in St. Paul. Jump in, Dale.
It's not a Fox talking point, but kids were coming up here without their parents during the Obama administration. The kids are still coming across the border without their parents. The parents are sending their – who would send their child across the border without – with a perfect stranger and hope that they see them again.
It's interesting how this conversation always devolves into something else.
No, shame on the parents. It's been going on, I just said, Jordan, it's been going on with Obama.
So you're
going
to judge some parents in Guatemala that you don't know what their situation is.
Would you send your kid across the border with a perfect stranger?
Dale, we're not here to judge anybody's parenting. We're talking about AOC. It's fascinating how this conversation always devolves into, like, lowest denominator. It gets partisan. They start blaming parents who might be dead. Maybe the parents were killed by a drug lord and the kid came across themselves. Also, we're judging these people.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. The conversation was about AOC, whether or not these camps are what they are. And it's fascinating.
Walk a mile in their shoes. Look, I believe in secure borders.
Fascinating to me.
You
know what? My great-grandparents sent their kids across the ocean to save them from concentration camps. You're going to judge my great-grandparents? Good luck with that.
But they came in legally, right?
Well, they came in at Ellis Island.
They
said,
came in
do
legally.
You have polio?
Yeah.
Do you have somewhere to go? Then you go in. It's different.
But they jumped through the hoops. They did what they had to do to get in here legally.
Their immigration is different than these people's immigration. Some of these are coming to checkpoints.
I understand desperation.
They're being separated.
I can't even imagine how desperate these mothers and fathers are to send their kids across the border. Hey, it's your best chance. It's your best chance at having a life.
That's right.
It's your best chance of staying alive.
I'm not going to judge those
heading
parents.
North of the border.
I'm not.
But it's just the current system is just not sustainable. We have to figure out a way to do it that upholds American values, doesn't separate kids from their parents.
I would agree with you on that. Thank you for making that plain for us. Andy, Jeff, Rod, Pat, we see you. We'll continue the conversation in a moment.
Paul and Jordana talking about AOC and basically conflating these detention centers, internment camps, whatever you want to call them. She called them concentration camps. So we wanted to bring up the question to you, loyal listeners. What do you think? Was that the right choice of words? And we're trying to get as many of these calls in as possible. So if you can just make your point, we don't want to necessarily debate you. We want to hear from you and hear what you have to say.
Well, unless you say something super cray-cray, then we'll have to.
Well, yeah, then Jura may rip you a new one.
Because it's just devolved like into lunacy. But Andy's in Woodbury. Andy, I'm glad you got in, sir. What's up?
Hi. I just want to make a comment about AOC's comments.
Mm-hmm.
I think AOC and a lot of younger people need to get a history lesson about concentration camps. If they really knew what a concentration camp was, they would be appalled at what AOC had to say. This is appalling what's going on in our country. 500,000 people have come across our border since January, and everybody in Congress, Republicans and Democrats, have done nothing to address this. What's to do in this country to alleviate this problem and get a solution to it? Everybody points the finger at each other, yet nobody wants to do anything about it. It's time we get our act together. It's not one person's fault. It's everybody's fault, and we've got to stop these people from coming across our borders. That's
Andy,
all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
You know what? I feel his angst.
He was eloquent.
We got to get it together.
And I think there's a lot of truth to what he said.
Jeff's in Sauk Rapids. Jump in here, Jeff.
I agree that concentration camps is the correct word. I fought in Vietnam, and I saw them. I treated kids as medics. I can't believe we're doing this. And the point is, many listeners have said, well, we got to figure out a way what to do with it. Simply put, this ain't the way. We've just got to quit doing this until we figure out a way to fix the broader problem, whatever that is. But we can't do this.
You're talking separating kids from their families.
And the concentration camps.
Jeff, thank you for your service.
Yes.
We're proud to have you listening to the show. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jeff.
Appreciate you. Rod's in Lakeville. Rod, jump in.
Yes, bad reference as using as concentration camps. I'm also a 28-year vet, but also let's call it what it is, whether it's detention facilities, concentration camps, whatever. But first of all, let's not call them immigrants. They are illegal aliens. And we can have all of our comments just fine and dandy up here five states away. But I would appeal to you to listen to the people that live on the border that are saying something has to be done. We have to stop the flow. We have to build bigger walls. We have to, you know, kick them back into their home country. But let's not have our, well, we can have our opinions up here, but let's listen to the people that are really dealing with it, that are on the border. So that's all I got.
Rod, thank you for your service, sir. We appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Rod.
Dan's in Bloomington. Hey, Dan, jump in.
Hey, thanks for letting me on.
You got it.
So I guess part of it is once they get across the border, all of a sudden it's America's responsibility to house and care for people. Even though if they came across sick and they die in America, it's all our fault because of all of that. My solution is let's make Mexico more responsible. Let's not let them across the border. And if they come across the border illegally, let's put them on a military bus. Let's drive them back across the border to Mexico. I mean, if people start learning that there's not going to be accepted, they're not going to make the long journey all the way up through Mexico to come to the United States if they know they're not going to get in. So let's make a more orderly process of applying for asylum at consulates or someplace else so we don't end up with all these people here.
Good suggestion. Dan, I'm glad you got in. Thanks for waiting.
You have to think that this...
I appreciate your thoughtful comments. So, and all are welcome. So we want to hear your thoughts. And we appreciate you being open-minded and respectful in your comments.
And maybe this is part of the strategy, the deterrence.
Sure, it is.
That if people in Guatemala hear, oh, my God,
it's
they're separating
there.
Families and we're going to lose our kids,
right.
That maybe they won't set out on that arduous, horrific journey with low chances of actually getting into the United States.
Sure.
But, I mean, we have a history in this country. If you apply for asylum and you can prove that you are being persecuted, I mean, that our country was founded on that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But what we're trying now obviously is not working for anyone.
It hasn't been for 40 years. It's not a problem of today. This has been going on a long time. It's also 4:31. We're late for the break. When we get back, it's going to be hot.
Hot and sweaty. Yeah, a heat wave on the way from Minnesota. Details next.
Let me tell you some good news about John Schuster and the John Schuster Group of Coldwell Banker Burnett. Let me tell you about Kelly and Wace. They were looking to sell their home in Eagan. Now, Kelly had seen John in action before. This is her sixth transaction with John, the one I'm telling you about right now. He hit it out of the park again. John's aggressive marketing sold their home in 48 hours. You probably didn't even know that was possible, but it is, my friend. For 100% of asking price, no less. John wants to be your realtor for life. Now, he is for me. I was listed with another realtor before I knew John, and they couldn't sell it. It was on the market for 6 months. I was getting these lowball offers. John swooped in after the contract expired because they wouldn't let me out. 3 weeks later, I had a full price offer, and John sold my home. Honestly, I don't know how the marketing magic works, but it works. He sold my home. He sold Paul's home. And he also guarantees to sell yours. He guarantees to sell it at a price and deadline that you agree to, or he will buy it from you. Either way, your home is getting sold. For all details, check out the johnschustergroup.com or give him a call. 952-333-SOLD. That's 952-333-SOLD. I'm a little grateful to talk about the weather after that heated discussion.
Come on, sing along. Oh, it's too hot.
Remember, we want people to listen to the show. We don't want them turning
just,
off
just
the radio.
Trust me, it'll be fine.
Going away from the
trust
Facebook
me.
Live if they hear me actually.
Dogs, so, dogs will be howling.
I'm dancing.
Is that what you're doing?
That's.
And you could watch her dance.
Dancer.
You could watch her dance if you were tuned in on Facebook
that's
right now.
That's right. If you're watching.
We are Facebook living, Facebook streaming. What do you call it?
Live streaming.
This newfangled technology. All right. Peak summer is here. I call the time from the solstice on June 21st to July 4th weekend. That period, late June, first few days of July, that is peak summer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me,
I love it.
Things peak the next week or two. And part of that is the heat. Even though the sun is highest in the sky, longest day, June 21, There's a lag in the atmosphere. Usually our hottest weather comes 3, 4, 5 weeks after, mid, late July. That's when we get our hottest weather. It's coming a little earlier this year, mm-hmm. and we're going to have at least 4 days, maybe 5 days in a row in the 90s, starting Saturday and going through Tuesday of next week. Low to mid-90s each day, dew points up around 70, 72. So it's going to feel like upper 90s, even low 100s.
Bring it.
So
it's good for the complexion. Get all the impurities out of the skin. It's like being in a steam room. Get a little schwitz going.
There you go.
Steam.
Yeah.
That's right. Embrace it, folks.
Glass
we
half
were shoveling
full.
Like last week.
Glass half full.
It's fantastic.
A beer. It's going to get stinking hot, and I'm very pro hot front, and I realize that many people are going to be looking for creative ways to cool down, but. Man, we were whining about the cool, wet weather for so long. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get some true summer weather. Nothing like Europe. Temperatures expected to hit 100 degrees in Paris over the next couple of days.
They barely have air conditioning there. They really got to get their acts together.
They don't.
Come on, France.
The hotels don't have AC.
2019. They better.
People go into their cars. A lot of the newer cars have AC. So people will drive in their cars. To cool off because their homes, in many cases, do not. Madrid, Spain, 105 predicted on Friday, the hottest ever recorded. So we're talking France, Germany, Belgium, Czech Republic, Switzerland, Italy, well above 100 degrees, 20 to 30 degrees above average. Very unusual so early in the season. And early summer heat waves can be especially lethal, Jor. People have not had time to acclimate to the higher temperatures. Mm-hmm. Older adults, the homeless, those without air conditioning, most susceptible to heat-related ailments. By the way, a scientist in Germany says heat waves like this will happen more frequently as the climate warms. He notes the hottest summers in Europe since the 16th century, so the 1500s, have all been in the last 17 years. 2003, a heat wave in Europe killed 70,000 people.
That's crazy.
70,000 people. Imagine the entire population of the city of Rochester, Minnesota.
Were there no lakes?
What do you do?
I don't know. You go in a lake. That's what you do.
In cities, I mean, transporting people, having cooling centers, getting people, especially older people, people with physical ailments.
It just seems like we shouldn't be dying of the heat
70,000 people in 2003.
In 2003, that is modern day.
I know.
Now.
It shouldn't.
There's air conditioning.
It
there's
shouldn't happen.
There's fans. There's bikes that will take you to a lake. There's fire hydrants that you can let loose and cool
you
off.
You should like, start a commission.
That blows my mind.
I know.
Sorry. And it annoys me, too, because those people didn't have to die from heat.
I agree.
I think it's very sad.
The Wall Street Journal had a story today, a link between heat and crime, and we've been talking about this. Meteorologists have been aware of this link. The crime rate drops in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Criminals don't like cold weather either, and they tend to stay indoors. But this is interesting. It was a study in Southern California by the University of Southern California, USC. On average, overall crime increases 2.2%. Violent crime increases 5.7% on days when the maximum temperature is warmer than 85 degrees in L.A.
Well, I'm sure I fight with handsome husband more because, you know, the heat sometimes makes you crabby.
Are you crabbier?
I mean, again,
I can't imagine
take a cold shower.
Because your disposition is always
I'm just
sweet.
A treat, aren't I?
You're always sweet.
Just a ray of sunshine. Yeah.
When heat waves happen, according to one expert, you are a ray of sunshine. There's more people out and about in the streets. Often people are agitated. There's evidence also that it's more likely people will be drinking beer, other kinds of alcohol to stay hydrated, staving off the heat. That kind of change in human activity would lead to more potential victims interacting with individuals who are either inclined to violence or prompted to do it. Again, poorer neighborhoods, older homes, less likely that people have air conditioning, further motivating the people to go outside, right?
Yeah,
if you don't have AC,
right, yeah.
What are you going to
steal someone's television?
Cook in
happens?
Your home, or you're not going to cook in your apartment. You're going to go outside on the streets.
Yeah, right.
And that creates more opportunities for trouble is the point that they're trying to make with this study in the Wall Street Journal. So, yeah, it's going to get hot a few days in the 90s, and then I think will cool off a little bit after the 4th of July. So no evidence that it's going to be a week or two or three in a row. It's not going to hit 100. But the heat index, how it actually feels, could be up around 100 by Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And when there's that much water in the air, George, when dew points are in the 70s, you can't cool yourself naturally with perspiration. The sweat evaporating off your skin has a cooling effect. But when there's all this water in the air, your body can't cool itself naturally as easily. And
you need a cold drink.
People overheat.
Can I tell you a funny story? Because that was super depressing.
What?
And that whole weather thing was super depressing for me. Like, you totally bummed me out.
Try to be more uplifting.
You're not going to cool yourself. Someone's going to steal your television, and you're likely going to die.
I didn't actually say that. I did not say that in those exact words. I said the crime rate goes up when it's hot.
More weather therapy, really. I need therapy from therapy. I need to call my therapist right now. So here's a funny story. So my little one is in camp. She's like counselor in training camp, whatever. She packs her lunch every day. And she goes, Mom, it's hot, so I like to bring a cold drink with an ice pack. You know, she put a little ice pack in it. And she goes, I looked in the back fridge. Can I take the seltzers, the flavored seltzers? And I'm like, what flavored seltzers? So my girlfriend introduced me to these new beverages.
Oh, yeah.
They're called, like, we talked about this last week on the show, like True or whatever they are. So, of course, Handsome Husband and I are in the Costco. And I'm like, oh, that's what everyone's talking about. They're flavored seltzers, but they have alcohol in them. It's like a beer. It's like 5% alcohol.
It's spiked
and
water.
We got some for my son's baseball tournament, you know, shared them with the lady and men. You know, it was really fun. So I just put them in the back fridge. And I'm like, so she's packing her lunch and she goes, can I just take one of these flavored seltzers? And I'm like, no. No, you can't. She looks at me. She's like, I like black cherry. I'm like, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I go, honey, I said, no, thank you for asking, but absolutely not. I said, it's alcohol. And she's like, oh my gosh, I guess. It was hilarious. So a heads up to all the moms out there packing lunch or all you campers out there. God bless her that she packs her own lunch, but no hard lemonades or hard seltzers in the camp lunch. Be on the lookout, folks.
Yeah, you got to check it out twice. Do you have to lock the refrigerator or should there be an adult beverage refrigerator?
Well, that's the drinks fridge. And but, you know, that's where their other stuff is, too. But I gave her the heads up. So when I was thinking about cold drinks, your time at cold drinks, I was like, oh, be careful with the cold drinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alert campers.
Oh, God, it's 4:47. All of a sudden.
I know. Let's break because we want to get some Mike Max.
Paul and Jordana and Mr. Michael Max. Maxie,
hey,
good to have you here as always. Mike.
Hold on, Mike.
Really
can't hear
quiet.
You yet.
He's playing hard to get. God, I love it when
he
does that.
Are you at TV, Mike? Just nod. Maybe Mike, we'll be able to hear you.
Just breathe. Breathe.
We only got a few seconds with him yesterday, so we were hoping to talk about how they wrapped up Kansas City and then, of course, tonight against Tampa Bay. Yep. Oh, Mike, is that you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is you breathing?
Oh, okay.
There you are.
I'm here.
Couldn't awesome.
Oh, you didn't have me for a bit, huh?
We did not.
Okay.
Now you're here.
Playing hard to get.
All right, so let's talk about the Twins first.
Yeah, so I was just out there. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous day for baseball. Yeah, gorgeous amazing. Night for baseball.
You're welcome.
30,000 plus, you bet. Byron Buxton's not ready to play yet. They Rocco Baldelli told me that he's still got some pain in some different places. He's going to hit some more today, and there's just that bruise acts up once in a while. Mm. Miguel Sano went on a campaign for the players that he wants to see. They got these finalists for the All-Star game, you know, C.J. Cron and Eddie Rosario, Nelson Cruz, and Jorge Polanco, and so he stacked all their jerseys up in the corner. And did an impromptu press conference on why he wants them to make the All-Star game because he's been there before. So that's the kind of fun and frivolity that we're having out there right now. Big throng of reporters. And normally that wouldn't be the case for Tampa in town. But obviously Rocco Baldelli played there. And it was interesting because when you watch Tampa tonight, unless you're really a baseball aficionado, you're not going to recognize many people in the order, in their batting order and on the roster. And yet somehow there they are again, and they find a way, and they got, you know, like Austin Meadows. They got some good players, but how they do it time and time again, and that's what I asked Rocco, of course, was a product of that system, and he says it's none of it's by accident, man. They know what they're looking for, they know where to look for it, and they reload in the strangest way I've ever seen.
Hey, Maxie, it may be 100 degrees in Paris
really?
When the U.S. women's team takes on the French team for the FIFA Women's World Cup. Yeah, it's going to be a hot, hot, hot game.
On Friday.
That's going to be a big one, yeah?
Yeah. And obviously they always do that deal where on, you know, on the field, it's actually 110. You know, they've always got some thermometer down there that they're playing natural grass, not turf, so that that won't get as hot as turf does. But obviously, that is a grinding, grueling game that they play without a lot of stoppages in play. And so I've never played it. I don't know. I've just watched it from afar, and I go, you know, depending on what position you play and the pace of the game, that's got to be you got to really be in good shape to play that sport, especially in conditions like that. But that might be a 1-0 game then. That might be just, you know, whoever gets an opportunity is going to win that one. But that's going to be fun. A lot of U.S. folks, I'm told, are going to be there.
Well, we almost played you off a little too loud there, Mikey. We're just giving you a little ramp-up music.
Man, you guys just don't want me on today.
No, we love you. Sorry about that. Yes.
Oh,
good.
Thanks, Maxie.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, good to talk to you.
You too. Sorry about that, Mikey.
No problem.
Kind of jarring in his ear right there. But we are out of time. We'll be back after the news.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.